Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel. What a blessing, God and God alone. Well, I grew up in West Virginia, and much of the landscape is like here, a lot of country roads and a lot of little churches around in different areas. One time my dad and I were riding on a four-wheeler or side-by-side or something down past this little church that was, at that point, was still standing. And so that was the church that my dad grew up in. It had been since abandoned. They moved up on the highway and continued the church there, and it's since moved again. But in this little old church, he pointed out that that's where he grew up, so to speak, in church. But the sad thing was that that church, like many churches around our area, they had very little. They like love children because obviously they come along with the deal as far as if families come, but they had little or no ministry to children. No classes. They just kind of scurried around, and they really discounted the children making very many spiritual decisions, almost as though they would just tell, we'll endure those children until they get finally old enough, and then they can make a significant decision and hopefully get saved. And that church did preach the gospel to that degree. But the problem was, there was a lot of people like my dad who, by the time the church got to a point where they recognized them, then the older teenager in my dad's instance, by the time the church got to a place where they recognized or started paying attention to the kids were done listening to the church because they had already tuned them out by this later time in their teenage years. And so they got some rebellion in them as they got to be teenagers. And now the church is saying, oh, now we're interested in you because you're an adult and you can be a producer. Sure, you can do this, but by that point, the young person says, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So I was almost not here as your pastor because I would have very likely grown up in a home that did not have salvation listed in it, did not have Christ in the center of the home, because my dad grew up going to that church all of his life and never got saved. Hundreds of messages he'd undoubtedly heard, many services he had been in, and he would see people go down to the front. Sometimes they would get business taken care of, so to speak, and sometimes they would not. But regardless of that, he never made a decision. And so when he got old enough, he volunteered, went to the service, and went and served. And in a serviceman's center in California, after he lived a typical sailor's life, he had heard the gospel now in this gospel preaching serviceman center. And one of the last things that he remembers as an objection to being saved was that that preacher said if anybody would come to Christ, then he would accept him. And he said that was foreign to me because the church that I grew up in, sometimes they'd go and seem like they got victory, and sometimes they just walk back to their seat kind of defeated. Really, nobody dealt much with you in that little church that he went, even as an adult. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit got him, and he finally trusted Christ as his Savior. And I tell you that story to say that that church was not alone. There's dozens and dozens of churches around in that area, and they're around in this area as well, that they really don't know what to do with children. They're not equipped for one reason or for one thing, but then also they really discount that the children can make much of a spiritual decision, make much of a decision for Christ at all. And so they simply put them off until they're older when they can understand. And you understand what the scripture says, that really it doesn't tell for a child to become like an adult so he can get saved. Actually, it's the complete opposite. The adult's the one that's got to become like a little child and receive Christ in simple childlike faith. And so I want to preach to you for a little while about why reach children. In my dad's house, mom went to heaven here not too long ago. And so they have a little, when mom was 18, I think, at her graduation, this one furniture store gave a little cedar box. And they gave it somehow for graduating senior girls. And in that box, dad keeps a lot of some foreign money they got when he's in the service, and the little mementos and different things. And one of the things in that box is a $2 bill that a lady named Sandy Wanahall gave me when I graduated from her kindergarten, junior church, Bible, whatever, junior church, Sunday school, kind of all combined in our little church that we went to. And this lady made such a big deal out of children that I've never forgotten. I could take you there and get it out of the box and show you. This is the $2 bill that I earned as I went all the way through her class, and she had a great desire to impact children. And I don't have to insult this crowd's intelligence to say, well, the children are the church of tomorrow. They may actually be the church of the day after tomorrow, probably the young singles, and we're thankful you're coming to our house tonight. They're the church probably of tomorrow, and the next one, the day after that, will be the children. But my intention is in this, that we have to, as a church, remember that we are commanded to reach children. Would you turn your Bibles to John chapter number 6? We're looking at the place where Christ feeds the 5,000, and I'm going to take you to the one disciple that was in junior church, as it were, on that day. We see that as Andrew is on kid patrol, however he finds his way to get into where the young people are, he finds the boy, the lad, with 5 loaves and a couple fish. And so somehow he gets to deal with the children. In John chapter 6, verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. As we make our way on down, I won't read the whole story. We understand. You get the gist of it. We all know it. In verse number 8, though, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now, what was Andrew doing, knowing what this little boy had for his lunch? I don't know. Well, Brother Thrift said you ought to read your Bible with your imagination. And I just kind of think that some of the disciples did a little better on kid patrol than others. I imagine that Peter was one that just bombastically rolled over all the children and didn't necessarily pay a lot of attention, regardless of whether he did or not. It's what kind of comes in my mind. But some of them were probably a little bit more soft-spoken, a little bit more tender, a little bit more likely to deal with the children, a little bit more likely to take care of them. Regardless of how it all works out, Andrew was on kid patrol, and he finds out that this little boy's got some fish and some loaves, but as he told the Lord, what are they among so many? I imagine there were some of the other disciples that would have been hard-pressed to figure out what lads were there or what the lunch of the lads were, but here was one that did. And I think about this. He discounted what the little boy had, but at least he did notice him. And I'm thinking about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm thinking about the church that we pastored in Ohio and the church I served for many years in Murfreesboro as the children's pastor. There's many folks that have missed service after service after service because they're over in the children's service. They're over with the junior church and they're over with the primaries, or they're over here or they're over there. I'm thinking about a good friend who now is in heaven, but Terry Clapp, who served our church in West Virginia, was a pathologist at one of the hospitals in Charleston, and he served in our junior church or beginner church, actually. And only probably got to 10 services in his whole entire career at our church. He was there for quite a while because he and his wife and his daughters always took care of the little bitty kids down in the basement, which is where our beginner church was. I'm thinking of a fellow in our church back when my dad was pastoring in Wellsburg, West Virginia. Fella had taken an old church bus that didn't run anymore, and so he just kind of lowered it down and then kind of closed over some of the windows and used it there. You got to be resourceful in some areas and used it as a junior church there because there wasn't enough rooms in the building that we had, and made a puppet stage in the front of it. And I remember my mom making all kinds of puppets to entertain, some would say, us children, but entertaining wasn't what was going on. We were being taught the Bible stories. You understand, friends, that we have got a command, and I don't want you to sit out there and say, I'm too old, I used to do that, and I don't want to do that. I'm not saying that we need everybody involved literally in the class on the bus, but I am saying this, that we need everybody involved on our knees to pray for the children's ministry of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We don't get off the hook, so to speak, just because our body says we can't do what we used to. We need to labor together in prayer for the ministry of the children of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and the children we haven't got to yet that we will get to. I'm telling you this evening that we've got to reach children. And as we see this passage here in John chapter 6, we see that the Lord was interested in children. Not only that, in Joshua chapter 8, the Bible talks about Jesus, or Joshua rather, paying attention attention to the children as he covenanted with God. It's amazing when you look even in the Old Testament and you'll find Moses as he was including the children as he preached to the people. And he talked about the young people because God's men have always been interested to make sure that not only the old and the aged and the middle age and the younger adults, but even the younger children, that all of us have an opportunity to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1991, some 30 years ago, I read a statistic from that year. I didn't read it then, but I read it about that year just in some study, that there are 50 million American children at that point that would never hear the Bible read or a prayer prayed. You understand that right here in the good old United States of America, there are hundreds and thousands of children that will never hear the name Jesus Christ except in a curse fashion. OMG will be the closest that they ever get to hearing God's name. You understand that we are quickly becoming a nation that has forgotten God, has literally turned our back on what the Word of the Lord says and what the Lord of the Word says as well. And my friend, I'm telling you, it's not enough for our church to reach adults. Yes, we've got to do that, but we have got to be engaged actively in reaching young people because the Scripture says that we're commanded to go to all the world and reach every creature, and that includes a lot of young ones. And so I want you to think about these few things as I give them here quickly. Number one, why reach children? First of all, I would tell you we ought to reach children because God commands it. In Matthew chapter 19, if you care to turn there, but the Bible says, suffer the little children and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse number 46, that whosoever receives a child receives the Lord. And we understand that the Lord is very, very intent on little ones getting His word. Now, I understand that we live in an age where we're looked at suspect as if sometimes we're looked at suspect if people want to minister to children. There's so many wicked things and atrocities going on. But my friend, it still is true that our church is given the command to share the gospel with you little ones. I so much love our bus ministry, and I pray and desire for us to be able to grow and add routes and add workers. But what if we're going to add routes, we need to add workers. If we're going to add workers, then we get to add routes. And so we understand that it all comes together. My friend, I'm just trying to get us to see that God commands us, however we do it, to reach young people. And it's come in and now it's gone out of vogue in churches like ours to reach people. Now, right now, it's popular to reach young families, and certainly we ought to do that. I'm telling this evening that we just simply need to be engaged in reaching people of all age, and part of that is children. And so in this missions month, I wanted us this morning to see the need to a little bit of the world, but in this missions month, I wanted us to see our mission, and that is to reach the young people of our area. Number one, because God commands it. Dr. Lee Robertson, who was a great hero of mine, was asked or told by some powerful folks in his church if he were going to have a church for the riffraff, then they were not coming. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church for many, many years. And so he simply said, I'm sorry you feel that way. We're going to try to be a church for everybody. The Highland Park Baptist Church, back in the day, they used to have as their tagline, the Church of the Green Light. They had a green light, red light down on one of the corners there. And they would have this, the Church of the Green Light, meaning that we are always on go. And I pray that we might be that same way. I see, number one, that God commands it. Number two, I also see, though, that the Bible gives judgment if we don't do it. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 6, who says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for a millstone that were hanged about his neck. My friend, I'm just trying to tell you that Jesus really does love all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they really are all precious in His sight. And again, I feel sometimes a little bit of tension right now that maybe you're thinking, yes, but I can't do it, Brother John, anymore. I'm not saying everybody's got to be in that class, but I'm saying we need everybody on the front line of prayer, praying that God would give us an opportunity to reach the young people of this area. Yes, we're going to do all we can to build our adult Sunday school, our Bible classes, but we're going to do all we can as well to reach our young people through our children's Sunday school. And so please understand that not only does God command it one reason, but also because God promises judgment If we don't, in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 5, I want to show you even in the Old Testament how God has a soft spot, if you will, and that's wrong verbiage for the Lord, but you understand, He has a great tender compassion. The Bible says, I will come near to you to judgment. I will be swift against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, and those that oppress the widow, and those that oppress the fatherless. And that turn aside the stranger. In Exodus chapter 22, we see that you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. You understand that the Lord has a soft spot, our verbiage, not His, a soft spot or a tender compassion for those that don't have somebody to show them the way. In Psalm 68 says, He'll be a father to the fatherless and a judge of the widows as God in His holy habitation. Because you understand that many of our bus riders are those specific situation where they don't know who their dad is oftentimes. And then we get to come in and be a blessing and be a help to them. I'm saying that not only is God commanded, but He also promises judgment if we don't. And then lastly, I give you this. Why should we reach children? Because children can be saved. Oh, I wish the church that my dad wishes, the church that he grew up in, would have known that. Or would have behaved in accordance to that, because children can be saved. Matthew chapter 18, as I made reference to earlier, says that you must become as a little child to be saved. And I know that we oftentimes think that, well, I wonder if they're old enough, and we navigate our way through that with our own children and then our family members, their children as well. And you certainly have to be careful that you don't want to give false hope or assurance of a young child. But truly, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 3, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, it's easier for a child to understand when you tell him that Jesus loved you and he went to that horrible cross and he did that for you because you and I all do wrong. And that young person just says, wow, I love Jesus so much, I want him to come into my life. And then you take a 48-year-old engineer somewhere and you're trying to witness to him. And you're telling him that Christ, when he hung on the cross, he was doing that on your behalf, in your stead. And he needs some more proof. And he needs to be able to see how that all figures out. And sometime or another in that conversation with that 52-year-old architect, you're just going to have to say, listen, you're going to have to accept him, accept Christ with childlike faith. I say that we're supposed to reach children because they can be saved. Lee Robertson, that I told you was a great hero of mine, a lady named Daisy Hawes, was his first Sunday school teacher, and he was just a hayseed farm boy that came in there about 12 or so years of age, and Daisy Hawes led him to the Lord as his first Sunday school teacher and showed him that Jesus loved him. Gypsy Smith, a true gypsy, but a gypsy was his name as well, nickname as well, took time and influenced a young Dr. John Rice, who would become John Rice. And you've heard the stories of D.L. Moody, who was influenced by a shoe salesman named Mr. Kimball. And there it could go on and on. I'm telling you this evening that we are supposed to reach children because they can be saved. And I'm going to stop there, but also we ought to reach children because there's such a danger of them not being saved. It's heartbreaking how much is out there to get the attention of a child. And I'm speaking not only of a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, all the way up through. There's so much that's vying for the attention. You understand that back even when you were children, if somebody was having Bible school down the street from you, well, that's free activity. But they don't need free activities anymore. Between all of their gaming systems, between all of their activities that they've gotten, between all of with that and everything else that's going on, they don't need to be entertained. They're entertained themselves. And so they're not often looking for Bible school to come to. Used to be that through our bus ministries, we could offer just some promotion and we would see that hundreds would come just because of some big push we have. And I love promotion. Well, we understand we can't hardly promote them anymore to come. They've all got everything they want and then some. They probably could promote to us, have us come. So it's not that it's easy. but it's still needful. If statistics are true, 85% of those that do get saved ever in their life, when you get saved, that you are eternally saved, I know. But what I'm saying is, of everybody who gets saved, statistically speaking, 85% of them will do so before the age of 15. That means if a person passes their 15th birthday unsaved, they are vastly unlikely to ever be saved. 85% of people that are saved before they're 15 years of age. That means we've got a job to do. Now, the cynic and the person that would malign us would say that you are targeting. But my friend, I'm not targeting anybody, except I'm targeting everybody, that we need to get the gospel. We have forgotten that our job is to get the gospel to everybody in the world. We have, I'm afraid, us, all of us have gotten comfortable. And we have set back on our lees and we have decided that we are proclaiming that message, howbeit maybe in a less than aggressive way, so that if anybody wants it, they can come find it. But you understand that that's not the biblical command. The biblical command is not to you and I, hey, keep the truth in case anybody ever comes around and wants it. We are supposed to spread the truth. And so we are supposed to reach children because God commands it. Because there's a judgment of God if we don't. And because most of all, they can be saved. In some 15 years ago or so, the Children's Defense Fund put out these statistics. Every 19 seconds, a child would be under 17 years or under 18 years of age. 19 seconds, a child is arrested. Every 23 seconds, a baby is born to an unmarried mother. Every 35 seconds, they assess that there are a child is abused or neglected. Every 40 seconds, there's one born into poverty. Every minute, there's one born to a teen mother. Every 4 minutes, there's one arrested for drugs. Every 8 minutes, there's a child under 18 years of age, that is, arrested for violent crimes. Every 43 minutes, a child or teen dies in a car accident. Every 5 hours, there's a young person under 18 years of age that commits suicide in America. I've watched it happen again and again, and you have too here at our church, but in other churches that I've served at, I've seen people come, and they'll come one time to a service. And we see their name show up on our rolls, but we never see them again. We serve a transient group of people sometimes in our bus ministries. And so sometimes they're just there for one time and then they're gone. That's why it's so important that we give the gospel on a continual basis. I wanted to share this message with you, and I know it's not bombastic by any stretch of the imagination, but I wanted to give this to you because we are in such desperate need to remember what we're here for. And that is to reach people with the gospel. And I do not want us to overlook any segment. Now, I know in the sad age in which we live, we're not able to approach children because of, because of wicked accusations, however I put that kindly. I understand that. And that's why we put protocol in place here at the church to protect children. Yes, that's our premier goal, but then also protect children of work or the workers of children. And I understand that we live in a different age, but the command has not changed. To reach the big ones and the little ones, because our Lord loves them all. Yesterday, I was so blessed to see a wonderful sight happen. Our church operates many buses, you know that. But I got to watch through the week Brother Kermit and Brother Doug get a bus ready out here. And you say, well, what's so special about that? Because they do it every week, and they do. But this bus in particular was not going to be used here at the church. There is a pastor friend of mine who called me some time back and let me know that he was praying, their church was praying, and saving for a bus. And God has blessed us, and He sent us some buses, and Kermit and Doug, they do a great job at finding and reconditioning some of them and getting them back on. And I'm telling you, I know you only see these ones, but I go to church, and our buses look far and above. They look so much better than most all the churches that I ever go to, because they keep such a good job on keeping them clean, keeping them maintained, and keeping them ready, because we do believe that the Lord's work is the most important work, and we want it to be right. But so as they're getting this bus ready out here, and then yesterday, this group from this church came that this church had been praying and saving for a bus. And so Doug was here and met him and gave him a few specifics about one of the buses that we gave this church. We're not interested in selling them because God gave them to us and we paid, but God blessed us with them. And so we were able to help this church out that hasn't saved enough to buy it. But now they're able to keep what they have saved for the purchase of the bus. Now they're able to put it in a fund to maintain it and keep it up and keep it going. And so here shortly, they'll be out on the road picking up boys and girls. And one of the folks from that church texted me today and said, Pastor, I wanted to thank you for it. Made the preacher, he was so excited when he got back, and he's excited about starting that. We're excited about reaching people in our area on the bus that you gave us. And so, folks, we're not only interested in reaching them here. We want to reach them everywhere through our missions and then helping other churches. And I don't have time to tell you tonight, but God has seemingly been burdening my heart for churches in our area that are smaller, yes, but that are struggling and that need somebody to come along and encourage them. You understand, I grew up in a church that never had a full-time pastor. And I think the most my dad ever got paid was $50 a week. And so maybe for that reason, God's put a burden on my heart to help some pastors out. And so Brother Paul is helping us as we try to get started. Brother Paul Pritchard helping us as we try to get started, just to be a blessing and encouragement. Because you understand, I want all of these churches, if they're Bible-believing churches and Bible-preaching churches, I want them all doing good. We have no gain in this if we succeed and the rest of them fail. And that's true in the children's bus ministry as well. And so I know it's not much of a message, but I do want you to know this, that we've got a command to reach children. We've got judgment against us if we offend one of these little ones. That's why it's so important in all of our classes that we never dismiss anybody. We never dismiss them as far as, I don't mean you never let them out of your class. Be like that one preacher said, man, our pastor's like Pharaoh. He never lets God's people go. I don't mean that you never dismiss them. But you should never slough them off. You should never just dismiss them in that fashion. Oh, there's somebody that God loves. They're no worse than you would have been if you hadn't had the home you grew up in. Not everybody had the mom that I did. Not everybody had the dad that you did. And I'm just saying that we are responsible before God to reach young people with the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you bless us tonight. Lord, I don't know what you would do with this, but I pray that everybody that helped in Bible school, dear Lord, you would help them see tonight. Maybe it's taken until tonight to show them that what they were engaged in was more important than they realized. Lord, I pray that some of our bus workers would know that their pastor loves them and thanks you for them, dear God. And I know that oftentimes I am one of them. They seem to be ignored and overlooked, and only reason that seems like they're thanked would be because they helped an attendance push be successful. Lord, we're not interested in numbers except what numbers represent. Numbers represent that many souls that were hearing the gospel. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us remember our role. And our role is to get the gospel out to the big ones and the little ones and all the ones in between. In Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. I don't need the whole church to come, but I do want the whole church to pray while you're right there. Our bus workers were out this morning. They were out through this week, knocking on doors, reminding young people to come. Some of us have the wrong impression of the bus ministry. We think we drive down that street and kids just come out and jump on. Not so, my friend. That's work and labor and prayer and work again and going back and knocking on doors and reminding them to come. Oh, thank you, bus worker. Many of you haven't heard me preach a Sunday morning sermon hardly since I've been here. Maybe through the COVID part because we didn't have the ministries quite like it was. But that's because you're in junior church. Some of the folks right down the hall with the beginners class on Sunday nights. Probably haven't heard me preach a Sunday night sermon in 8 months. Oh, what a blessing. Would you pray right now? Pray and ask God to bless our bus ministry. We're running, I believe, 5 routes right now. We need to see that grow. Brother Daniel has got thrown into that, and he is doing a great job. You be patient with him and labor with him and pray with him and help him. I think of our kids blast that we've had all through the summer, and we're getting ready to launch a new program here in the fall, and all those laborers that are not sitting in the service but instead laboring with young people. What a wonderful joy. Thank you, Brother Jordan, as he's helped us with so many of our children's ministry, continues to just be a blessing and be used of God. As they play one more verse, I'm asking everybody to pray for our buses. Pray for our Sunday night kids that are over there. Pray for our Wednesday night program. Pray that we wouldn't leave anybody behind. And then as you're praying there, one last request. If there's somebody in this room that's unsaved, I didn't preach about the gospel per se, but I told you that young people could get saved. Kids aren't the only ones to get saved. Old ones can. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, oh, He's the Savior. You won't change that. But is He your Savior? Have you taken Him as your personal Savior for the forgiveness of your sins? That's why He came to this earth, to save you from your sins. If you're here and you're not saved, would you step out? Brother Daniel's right in the front of the pulpit I preach from. Now, Father, we need Your work and we need Your hand upon our children's ministry. Lord, I don't have time to tell the folks tonight, but Lord, we want to do more to spruce up the facility we have, Lord, so that we could see young families come in here, and we want them to know that we value young lives because young lives, Lord, have all of their life to serve You. Bless us, dear Father, I pray. And I pray that we would be known as those who love everyone, the old and the young. And I pray that You'd bless us in our endeavors. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. I apologize, I'm a little later than I normally am, but I thank you again for being in church. And I wanted just to remind you that, as you know, that we've got several folks that are out. Many of them are out, just in case you're wondering. Many of them are out for precaution's sake, because you can't tell the difference between a runny nose and COVID sometimes, of course. And so just because somebody's not here doesn't mean they're sick in that regard. But I do want you to remember that for the safety of everybody, if you're sick, Stay home. Watch it online. They do such a phenomenal job. If you don't have access to it and we can do something to help you get set up, then we certainly would. But if you feel sick or you have COVID symptoms or you've got somebody in your house that's positive for COVID, then just enjoy the services online. We want to keep everybody safe. Or in addition to that, if you're uncomfortable because you just can't come in good conscience and say, I just don't think that's the best for my family. Whether you're a deacon, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're whatever, the pastor can't, but everybody else. I don't want to. I'm just, that is a joke. It's bad when a person has to tell that there's a joke, you know. But like a preacher tells, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. So I am telling you the truth. If you hold a position and you just don't feel like it's advisable for you and your family, then that is fine. I've had several people have told me, said, preacher, I just don't think I should. I say, then that's fine. Watch us online and wait till you get through this little spell of it or whatnot. So I tell you that regards for your attender, an attender, a member, a deacon, Sunday school teacher, whatnot. Just let us know so we can get those areas covered, and we certainly will. But these are strange times. You are looking at the only pastor this church has ever had told you stay home. That's an embarrassing thought. But nonetheless, it's true. So if you're going to do missing church, get all your missing out right now. Because next time, whenever this gets done, I'm going to rear back and hit it both barrels at you wicked, low-down people just missing church for no reason. That sermon's coming. So right now, enjoy. Nah, I'm just joking, but I am serious about the other part. If you have some of those symptoms, you feel uncomfortable, then or you want to wear a mask when you come in, you are welcome as a daisy in May to do it however you want to do it. Please, I want you to know that you really are, and because I want you to just follow the Lord in that. And but again, I tell you, let's not live in fear, regardless of whether it's this or 13 other things that could be hitting us this week. We all do still pray and remember that the Lord reigns. So whatever you do, do what's best for you. Pray. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you. You don't need me to help you in that. He'll lead you in that. But remember that even in whatever we decide to do, let's still give Him praise and give Him glory and realize that He's the Lord over all, and we're following Him. Thanks for being in church tonight. I know we're not fellowshipping a lot, but say good night to several folks as you go out. Maybe somebody you haven't talked to yet. And then those that are coming over to our house, let's go. We'll have a great time and eat a lot. You're dismissed.